Shalom Aleichem, sweetest friends. In the previous shiur, we were talking about the halachas of Lashon Hara and Shiduchim. What is permitted to say and what is not permitted to say. So last time we spoke more about offering information, coming forth when not being asked, and this time we will discuss how to ask and how to answer. And again, we're basing ourselves on the Kuntres Mei Menucha, which is at the end of the Sefer Chafetz Chaim with the commentary of Rabbi Chaim Kaufman Shlita, who wrote a commentary called the Nesivas Chaim, the Nesiv Chaim, Shvilei Chaim, the Zera Chaim. So at the end, he has a Kuntres on Shiduchim, and as I said in the previous shiur, you don't really find this in our literature, a discussion of this particular topic, a very pointed discussion, and Lashon Hara and Shiduchim. So I think this is very, very important that we talk about it. And again, if one has any specific questions, these are just general guidelines, and one should always consult the Talmud Chacham. And I certainly do not include myself in that category. Sweetest friends, this year should be Le'ilu Nishmas Esther Bas Rib Shmuel and Chana Bas Rib Yitzchak Yona and Alexander Zusha Ben Yosef, Chana bas Esther, and Shmuel Pinchas ben Yaakov Tzvi. So those were all holy Yidden who are no longer with us, and this year should be Luli Nishmasam, and L'Refuas, Toiv Yehudis bas Tema Gassia, and Emunah Netzich Yehudis bas Tema, and Zev Eliezer ben Chaya Shendel, and Miriam Rivka bas Adina Leah. The klal is, the principle is, that when somebody asks, he's allowed to ask anything he wants to, if it will in some way benefit the shidduch. A person's asking questions. The parent of the boy or the girl. The boy or the girl himself or herself. A friend. Anything that's for the toelus, anything that's for the benefit of the shidduch, one is allowed to ask. However, one should really make sure that it's for the benefit of the boy or the girl, and not just them, because it's interesting to find out dirt on other people. And not only that, but it's a good thing to find that information. Because the more information one finds out beforehand, the more likely the relationship is going to be a successful one. Because a lot of times when people don't know information, and then they get married, the couple gets married, oy va'avoy, oy va'avoy. So therefore, it's good to know beforehand as much as you possibly can, in order that they know what they're getting into when they stand under the chuppah. And in this way, the match will be one filled with peace, love, and closeness. Not only that, but one is permitted to ask many different people. And he doesn't have to limit himself in order to refrain from hearing Lashon Hara, since his intention is for Toelus. As we talked about last time, if it's for Toelus, if it's for benefit, it's not Lashon Hara. It's not Ra, it's Tov. So if it's for the benefit of the shidduch, one is allowed to ask many people, and the more you ask, the more information you're going to find out. You know, there are some people who lie, but not everybody is such a good liar. I know that's one of my weak points. I have a lot of trouble lying, so when somebody asks me about a shidduch, I generally tell the truth, because that's just my minhag. I guess maybe that's the way my parents brought me up. But whatever it is, there's some people who don't tell the truth, and the more people you ask, the more likely you are to get to the bottom of it. However, of course, there's a limit. One can't just go asking the whole world. There's a limit to how many people one should ask and how much information one finds out. Obviously, one should make sure that it's within the realm of normative, in the realm of reasonable is the word I was looking for, and that one shouldn't search for interesting details about somebody else's personal life. Rather, one should just try to find out what he or she needs to know for the shidduch. Ask a reasonable number of people, and then be done with it. The person also has to have bitachon, that if I did my ishtadlus, I asked a certain number of people, and from here on in, I'm going to trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Beforehand, I also trusted HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the HaKadosh Baruch Hu I trust told me that I have to make my own effort. But as far as going too far, obviously, like everything else in life, one should know the limits. And of course, we all know the halacha, which some people actually have difficulty with. There's a tshuva about it in the Tshuvas van Haggas of Rav Sternbach. But the Chafetz Chaim Paskins and the Shmiras HaLashon and the Chafetz Chaim Paskins, that one is not allowed to believe Lashon Hara. So even when one hears Gnus, even when one hears negative information about this person, one shouldn't believe it, because it's Lashon Hara. So one can still be careful, one can still be Choshesh, but one shouldn't be completely receptive and assume that what the person is saying is necessarily true. Rather, one should still assume that it's not necessarily true. However, when it comes to the shidduch, when it comes to lemaisa, one can be careful and take that into account, what the person said. And again, this question was, the Rav Sternbach asks, if I remember correctly, in the name of the Chazon Ish, that it's very hard to live life like that, that somebody tells you something, especially in this case, where it's for Toelis, one's not allowed to believe it at all. In any event, that's the way the Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan, the Chafetz Chaim Paskins. And he says there are certain instances where one is allowed to believe the Lashon Hara. For example, if it's Dvarim Hanikarim, that if it's very clear that the person is telling the truth, you have very strong reason to believe the person is telling the truth. Anyway, you can look more into that klal, this detail, which is not the subject of our shir, when one is allowed to believe Lashon Hara, in Chelek Aleph and Klal Zayin. However, I'm just bringing up the point that even when one does hear Lashon Hara about the potential shidduch, one should be careful, according to the Chafetz Chaim, not to completely believe the information, just to take it into account that it may be true when making one's decision. Chafetz Chaim also writes, Chelek Aleph and Klal Dalet and Sifyut Aleph, that a person should also reveal the reason he's asking to the one who's asking, in order that the person who's telling the Lashon Hara should know that it's for a shidduch, and therefore it's not Lashon Hara. Because if you just ask him information about this person and he tells you, so in his mind he's telling Lashon Hara, and that's usher, so therefore you have to say, no, this is for a shidduch, and therefore I have to know the truth. But it's for a toelis. So you shouldn't think that you're speaking Lashon Hara, so don't enjoy it too much. However, Rabbi Kaufman suggests that if, according to the circumstances, you don't want to say that it's for a shidduch, but you tell the person that there is an important benefit, then that's also okay. Because sometimes if you say that it's for a shidduch, then all of a sudden people might start hiding information and changing things. So just say there's an important reason for me to know, even though usually people can figure it out on their own. Say there's an important reason for me to know, and then again, you're not going to be machshil the person in Lashon Hara. And of course, in our generation, when there is unfortunately so much falsehood in this area, one should make sure to ask somebody who's going to tell the truth, because that's what we want to get to. We want to get to the truth. Now, there's also an interesting question. Let's say I'm trying to find that information about a girl for my son, which, in the meantime, is not happening, because right now, we're working on my son's bar mitzvah, my oldest son. So therefore, we're not at all looking into girls for him. But let's say it's a few years down the line. I have an older daughter, older than my son. She's already past the bar mitzvah age, not to mention bat mitzvah age. So I'm finding out about a boy, but, I'm a very busy man. I pray 3 times a day. I eat 3 meals a day. I study Talmud in the codes. I have a family. Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me so many wonderful things in my life. And I don't like to sit all day on the telephone, making phone calls. So can I ask a shliach to find out information for me? Now, if this shliach finds out, if I ask somebody to help me find out information for me, then more people are going to be hearing Lashon Hara. Because if I have somebody else do the legwork, even though who am I to ask somebody else to do legwork for me? But let's say somebody else knows that I am not an important person, and therefore I should do the legwork for him. So that's a very nice thing that I'm going to do. I'm going to do him a chesed. I'm going to help him out. I'm going to save him time. The only thing is there's going to be more lashon hara, because I'm going to be making the phone calls. I'm going to be gathering information. And then I'm going to tell this person who's going to know for his own child. So there's going to be more people hearing lashon hara. You have the messenger and then the person who and the sender. So is it mutter to send a shliach? So obviously, ideally, one should avoid sending a shliach, because then less people will be finding out this negative information. But obviously, it's within limits. And if it's going to be a tremendous tircha for a person to find that information, and somebody else can find it out in a half a minute, and for me it's going to take 6 hours. So maybe there it could be, Rav Kaufman suggests, that it would be mutter to send a shliach. So again, the ideal is just to find out the information on your own to minimize the amount of discussion about someone else. But if, I don't even want to call it lashon hara, because again, it's for toelis. But if somebody else is involved, then it's not toelis anymore. What does this person have to be involved? But if it's going to be a tremendous pain and a tremendous amount of effort for the, let's say, the parent of the boy or girl to find out this information, and somebody else could find it out very easily, then it could be that it's mutter to send a shliach. And Rav Kaufman ends off this section, and he says, "Ulefisichlo yehulo ish," and a man is praised according to his seichel. Use one seichel. So that more or less is an overview of the halachas with respect to asking. That one is allowed to ask, one is allowed to ask a lot of people, one should be careful not to be completely makabel the lashon hara, one should inform the one who is being asked that it's for toeles, one should ask only people who are going to tell the truth, one should preferably not send a shliach, but if it's going to be very, very difficult, maybe it's mutter to send a shliach. And one should only ask questions, obviously, that are germane and that are relevant to the shidduch, and not just once you start talking. So then you start talking, that's the way lashon hara is. You start talking about this person, then it goes on to the other person. They start talking about the rabbeim and the yeshiva and the politics and the shul, and then one thing leads to another. So that should obviously be avoided at all costs. Now we move on to how the one who is being asked should behave. When a person is asked about a shidduch, he is chayev to give him a good eitzah. And if he's machshil him be'eitzah she'ena tova, he's over on an iser d'oraisa of lefneiver lo sitein michshol. If somebody is asked about a shidduch and doesn't give honest information, doesn't help this person, then he is over on lefneiver lo sitein michshol. Because he's giving him an Eitzah Ra. There's also a mitzvah say Doraisa to give an Eitzah Tova. So one has to be very careful to help out and give good information. And not only that, but it's mutter for one side to inquire about the other side, even about small details. And like we said earlier, it's good to ask about small details, because we want this shidduch to be as perfect as possible. We want the match. I always say it's called a match because a lot of times there ends up being fire, unfortunately. That's when it's not a good match. So we want to make a match that has the fire, the Eish HaTorah, the Eish of Kedusha, and not the other Eishes. So if one finds out about the other side, then hopefully it'll be the best possible match. And they want to know all the details. However, one should also take into account when one is being asked what the asker really needs. What answer, don't always answer necessarily what the asker is asking, but what the asker really needs to know. That should be the answer, and one should be careful always with one's tongue. So, says Rav Kaufman, Klal gadol benishal, shekol shepachos makiris hamaduber v'amaduberes. The less you know the person, the less you should say, and the more you should give general answers. Because you don't know. There are a lot of things you don't know. So a lot of times, That's really the best. A lot of, unless you're really close to somebody, you really don't know what's going on in their lives. We all know that about ourselves. We know that to an outside observer, our life looks one way. And then to us, we know that there are a lot of things that other people don't know. Health issues, family issues, financial issues, various demons that we have in our minds, emotional things that we've been dealing with. Everybody has stuff. Everybody. So when you're close to a person, you know a lot more. When you're not so close, so a lot of times you find out that you know nothing. A lot of times stories come out and you say, I thought I knew that person. And you didn't know him at all. So therefore, the less you know about the person, the less you should say. So if you know what you know, you can say. But the less familiar you are with the person, the less you know, and therefore the less you should say. Not only that, at the beginning, when they just started talking about the shidduch, one shouldn't offer any information about little chesronos, little character flaws that each side has, because that's going to break off the shidduch before it starts. And I think that even when asked at the very beginning, you know, to just start going into every little detail and pointing out every little flaw, so I don't think that's such a good idea. One should give generally honest answers and really try to think about what is the best for both sides. And if it's the best for both sides to tell about a chisaron, then of course one should say. But a lot of times it's not, because everybody has chisronos. And then if the girl hears that the boy sometimes misses shachris, so then she's never going to want to meet him. But it could be that they're a perfect shidduch. And once she marries him, he's going to get up for shachris every morning. So one should definitely not offer information. And even when asked. So sometimes at the beginning, it's good to say, you know, listen, I don't know the person so well. Because in this way, you're really helping both sides. Because again, at the beginning, people are very nervous. That's what I think. But that's not written in the Sefer, and that's my own personal opinion. But what's very important is to try to think, and that's really the Iker Yisod here. The primary principle is to try to think, well, how can I give the best possible Eitza? And what is the best for both sides? And if you think that it's the best to reveal certain minute details, then one should reveal them. And a lot of times, and this is very, very important, I'll read this inside. There are many people who, under the guise of the claim that they don't want to mess up the shidduch, hide very critical information against the Torah. And it's worse than lying. And they start saying all these praises that aren't true. And they're mamish over on an Isser Doraisa of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol, besides the fact that they're messing up someone's life. So one has to be very, very careful not to give a bad Eitzah. And one does this. No, I want what's best. This person needs to get married. This person needs to get married, so I'm going to hide important information. Chas v'shalom. This person needs to get married, but why should somebody else suffer with them? If there's important information, then this person should know before they get married. So many people are over on this, even sometimes quote-unquote very firm people, are over on the Isser Doraisa of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol. They're putting a stumbling block in front of the blind, because here the person asking the questions is blind, they don't know the truth, and the person telling them the information is telling them false information. And therefore, it's very important that anything that's no gay, again, let's say something's not no gay at all. They ask about something that happened in second grade. In fourth grade, he hit a girl. So it's not nice to hit a girl. But if in fourth grade somebody hit a girl, doesn't mean Chas v'Shalom is going to be a wife beater. So therefore, in such instances, my very small seichel tells me that one should say, I don't know, I know the past. Let's not talk about the past. Let's talk about what type of person he is now. And in this way, one won't mess somebody up. You know, somebody makes mistakes in their youth. So one shouldn't have to suffer for one's whole life. Again, unless it's no get to the shidduch. So anything that's no, anything that, that relates to the actual shidduch, that should be, and it's important to know at this point, that should be answered now. It could be that sometimes one can say that, listen, let them go out a few times. In the meantime, it looks like it's a good shidduch. And then we'll talk more. And then after those few times, you can tell more information. I mentioned in the last year that I think it's always best for the boy and the girl to tell each other. And in this way, one completely avoids the Lashon Hara problem. But we can't always expect that. And a lot of times people aren't always so self-aware. A lot of times people don't even know negative information about themselves. So we have to find that from other people. But anything that's nogea to the shidduch, at this point, one must reveal. And that's a mitzvah. And then some people say, no, I don't want to mess up the shidduch. I want to help the person get married. And there are many terrible stories like that. Many people get into, and to get over a bad marriage, one doesn't get over one's whole lifetime. Sometimes there are children afterwards. And then they suffer. So one should try to do everything, especially in today's world, to avoid that. Today there's so many divorces and so many broken homes. And I've seen with my eyes so many boys who come from such homes and the harm that it does to them and the emotional anguish from which they suffer. So one should make sure not to be machshil a person with an eitzah ra. In addition, when one is saying something negative, one should only be thinking about the toelas. I'm only saying this in order to benefit. I'm trying to benefit both sides. Or I'm trying to benefit even one side. But it should never be chas v'shalom done out of hatred. And what about if one is going to answer out of hatred? So in such an instance, if it's toelas gemura, if it's a complete benefit, we really, really need to hear this information. But I'm also happy to say it about the guy because chas v'shalom, I can't stand him. So on one hand, there's no iser of rechilus. On the other hand, there's an onesh shamayim. That's what Rav Kaufman says in numerous places in the Sefer. That if one is going to have kavana for sinna, but there is a toelas gemura, there's a complete benefit, so it's not lashon hara because it's toelas. However, one will have to answer HaKadosh Baruch Hu after 120. But if it's not toelas gemura, so in such a case, that's rechilus gamur. So one has to be very careful that one's intention should be pure. I once heard a story, I don't know if it's true, but it really should be true, that if it didn't happen, the story is definitely true, that a woman, a Gentile woman, once picked up an English translation of Shmiras HaLashon, and I assume it was Rabbi Pliskin's. This was many, many years ago, before they came out with the translation of the Chofetz Chaim. So I assume it was Rabbi Pliskin's Guard Your Tongue, which was a classic back in the 80s. And she started to read it. And she said, if there's a religion like that, that has laws like this, about gossip, I want to be part of that religion. And that's it. Ashreinu matob chelkeinu ma'noem garaleinu ma'yofa yirushaseinu. That we have such halachas. That even when one is speaking Lashon Hara l'toelas, but one has to have proper intentions, one has to have pure motivations, and it shouldn't be done out of enmity or hostility or hatred, chas v'shalom. And also, obviously, a lot of times, one is saying gnus, and it's toelas, and once he's already saying gnus, he says, yeah, and also, you know, he comes late to davening, and I see him being mevatel Torah sometimes, and da 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 da, and then every little thing he can add on, he adds on. So that one is not allowed to do. One has to see exactly the gnus that's necessary. This person has a temper. She's short tempered, so that's important for the girl to know. So you see, short tempered, but the fact that sometimes he comes a little bit late to davening. Listen, sweetest friends. I'm not condoning coming late to davening. I think one should come early to davening, 10, 15 minutes early. One should say korbanos. One should learn before davening. There's a lot of wonderful things that one should do before davening, and then one should be on time for davening and say every word with kavana. But I'm not exactly sure that it'll completely impede a shidduch if there's a guy who sometimes comes late. I know that, a lot of times I see people, they come late, they leave early. You start the minyan with four people. by Baruch Sha'amar, by the time you're up to Ashrei, there are 12 people, by the time you're up to Yishtavach, there are 15 people, by the time you're up to Shema, there are 20 people, by the time you're up to Shemin Esrei, 25 people, after Kedusha, you're down to 20, after Modim, you're down to 15, and then by the end of davening, you don't even have a minyan for the last Kaddishes. So a lot of people aren't so strong with davening, and that's definitely something that has to be improved. But the question is that going to affect this shidduch? You know, if a girl is on the madrega that she needs to marry the tzaddik hador, then adarabba v'adarabba, when one is asked such a question, then one should answer. But certainly to start offering such information, and even sometimes when asked, you know, one should really weigh, is this going to affect the shidduch? Or are they asking stam? So one should only, the only toelas is a toelas that's going to affect the shidduch. And not a toelas that is not a toelas, then it's not a toelas, something that doesn't affect the shidduch at all. So one should only answer those questions which are necessary, which are germane to the shidduch. And once one is saying gnus, that doesn't give one a blanket heter to just keep adding on all the negative things about the person. And sometimes he has really bad breath. So that's, you know, it's very, very nice. But, you know, is that going to, if they ask, if there's a guy in Nebuch, he doesn't brush his teeth, he doesn't shower, so we're talking about something that I'm sure the girl should know. But you catch my drift, sweetest friends. Not to add on unnecessary details. Not only that, but let's say you know that the person asking is a real yenta. You know, she's one of these ladies. She gets on the phone with one friend, gets all the gossip, quickly hangs up to call up another friend, tell all the friend the gossip that she heard, get more gossip from that friend, and call up a third friend. So such yentas you have to be careful about. So I wouldn't recommend marrying one. And I wouldn't recommend even being such good friends with one, because one will be nichshal in lashon hara. But also, when asked about a shidduch by such a yenta, and there can also be men like that, who just like to talk, so one should be very, very careful what is said. Because afterwards, this can really harm the person spoken about. It's always good to think, how would I feel if it were me? If somebody was talking about me, how would I feel? So obviously, if it's the halacha, one has to say, even if you wouldn't enjoy it. But it makes you a little bit more sensitive when you think of it in terms of yourself. So be careful only to say things that are completely necessary. And sometimes one even has to change details when dealing with these people, because a lot more harm than is necessary is going to come out of the information. And then one can convey the information in a different way to a different person. Now, a lot of times, when you say something small, like you say, this person is a little bit lazy, others are going to assume that a little bit means very, very, very much. So, because people are trying to minimize it. So it's good to be careful that what you say is received in the right way, and that it's properly understood exactly what you mean. And that a person shouldn't think that it's worse than it actually is, or better than it actually is. Not only that, but because of that, one shouldn't give general definitions. Like, she's a nice girl. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I've been dealing with shidduchim now for many years. You know, because of the boys in yeshiva, Baruch Hashem. And, you know, obviously after they leave yeshiva, in yeshiva we try to discourage shidduchim. They're only 18 years old, it's not shidduchim. But every girl I've ever heard about is a nice girl. They're always nice. What does that mean? I had an English teacher in the Yeshiva University High School for Boys, the Marcia Stern Talmudical Academy, Manhattan Talmudic Academy, MTA, her name was Miss Mayevsky. And one of the words she most despised was nice. What's nice? What's nice? What is nice? Nice, it doesn't say anything. I had a nice time. She's a nice girl. It's a nice hotel. Nice says everything and it says nothing. So therefore, sweetest friends, avoid that. Or Yari Shemaim. Oh, when you're in the firm world, everybody's a Yari Shemaim. Who's not a Yari Shemaim? Oh, she's such a Balas Chesed. Oh, she's such a Balas Chesed. Sweetest friends, who doesn't do Chesed? Who doesn't? Everybody, Every girl helps her mother, I'm assuming. She went to Hask for the summer. She helps her friends out sometimes. He gives people a ride. Who's not a Baal Chesed? So therefore, these general things don't really mean anything. So when one is asked the question, one should give examples. For example, one is asked, is the boy a serious learner? So you can say that I would estimate, I'm this boy's Rebbe. You say, I would estimate that he learns 13 and a half hours a day. So that gives the person a good idea. That's pretty serious, 13 and a half. He learns 9 hours a day. 9 isn't 13 and a half. He learns 16 hours a day. Or wherever he goes, he has a sefer. And he uses the sefer. He doesn't just hold it. He even once remarked to me that he feels safer with his sefer. Or chesed. You don't just say she's a balas chesed. You say she did this. She was involved in this project and that project. And every Sunday afternoon she's in the hospital visiting the ill. And by giving concrete examples, so it makes it clear exactly what you mean. And also the concrete examples of the bad. For example, we gave the 4-4, we talked about a boy with a short temper. So what does a short temper mean? It means that I know that sometimes in the dormitory, you know, when he gets woken up, he screams, "Yo, be quiet!" And then he goes back to sleep. So that's much different than he gets up out of his bed and he physically attacks the person and he punches them so hard in the face that they need stitches. So there's a big difference between the two. So you can give an example of the gnus and you can give an example of the shavach. And therefore people get an exact idea of what you mean. You say that this girl is very, this girl at times can have a sharp tongue. So what does that mean? It means that even though usually she's a very nice girl and a tzedekis and a balas chesed, however, sometimes as girls do, and boys as well, when she feels attacked, so she gets defensive and she has a special talent for saying things to really put another person in their place. So this can be a mile in life. One can use a sharp tongue for good things. Because at times it's necessary for discipline purposes, for chinuch purposes. It's good to know exactly what the right thing to say is in order to put a person in their place. On the other hand, sometimes it could be used for ra. So you should give an example of when it's used and how it's used and how often it's used. And in this way, they get an exact idea of exactly what the magnitude of it is. But if they just hear, oh, this girl has a sharp tongue, so they think that she gets up in the morning and, you know, she speed dials 10 of her friends and she calls each one ugly and stupid and a loser. So that person can get the wrong idea. So by giving concrete examples, then it gives the one who is listening, the one who is asking, a much more clear picture of the facts. Now, sweetest friends, there's something very interesting that sometimes the halacha permits one to prefer one side over the other side. We learn in the Gemara that with respect to a relative, there's a chiyuv of mibsarcha lo tesalem, that one should not hide one's eyes from one's flesh. And therefore, when dealing with one's family member or someone close, so that person is allowed to do what is better for their side. A parent. When a parent is finding out a shidduch, a parent is permitted al pi halacha to prefer their child, the good of their child, over the good of the other side. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that if it's going to harm the other side, it's permitted to do so. But what it does mean is, for example, if the one asking the question is a parent of the boy, you're allowed to tell this person information, even information that they didn't ask about, which might harm the other side, the one spoken about. But because you're allowed to, the person asking is on the side of the is a close friend or a parent or a relative of side A, let's say the chassan's mother, so one would be allowed to tell information that wasn't even asked about. It would be forbidden for a third party to offer such information. But since we have a din of Mubisarcha and Lotisalem, it would be permitted to offer the information to one very close to the boy or the girl. Also, if the one being asked is a relative or someone close to the to one side. So l'chora, it's also mutter to look for the good and try to do what's best for his side. However, one also must be careful about lefnei lo sitein michshol. And therefore, if it's going to be no clear damage, to one's relative, one should not tell the asker to refrain from doing the shidduch in order to do good to one's karov. That would be a lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. Because, again, one is allowed to try to do what's best for one's own side, but one has to be careful that one is not harming the other side. And it says, V'cheinim l'krovo inyan ha-shidduch u'davar tov. So if for one's relative the shidduch is something good, u'letzad ha-shol niru l'nishol she'eino kol kach tov, and but the one being asked, the one asking, it would appear to the one being asked that the one asking for that side, it's not so good. Lo yuchal liyaitz l'shoel l'hishtadech imatzad ha-sheni. He cannot give an eitzah to the asker to make a shidduch with the other side. Because it's not so good for the shoel. So, v'cholkai gavna, kevin shemutter v'af mitzvah lidrosh tovas krovo, ein lo eitzah el l'stalek u'limane mitshuva b'inyin al yedei hamtzah samatla. Ah, so if that's the case, if what we said is true, that if there's not going to be clear damage to one's relative, one can't give an eitzah not to go into the shidduch, even though it won't be completely to their good. So if that's the case, then since one is allowed to search out for one's own side's good, one should just try to avoid it. In other words, sweetest friends, if one sees that it's better for one's own side, it's going to be good. For one's child, it's going to be a great shidduch. But for the other side, it's not going to be the greatest shidduch. Then in such an instance, one should just try to avoid talking about it at all. Because on one hand, one is supposed to search out the best for one's own side. On the other hand, one can't give an eitzah ra. And it would be an eitzah ra here if one would give an eitzah to go into the shidduch when for the other side it wouldn't be such a good thing. On the other hand, one doesn't have to harm one's own side. So in such an instance, what one should do is, one should just say, as long as if there's going to be a hezek baror, this is clear. If there's going to be a clear damage to one side, so then one definitely has to say, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter the father of the boy, the father of the girl. If there's a clear damage, one definitely has to say. But if there isn't a clear damage, then if it'll be better, let's say for my side, but it won't be so good for the other side, So if I try to push it forward, so in a way I'm going to be hurting the other side. So therefore, in such a case, it's better that I don't get involved in order not to cause damage to the other side. But I don't have to say anything because I don't have to cause harm to my own side. So if there's going to be a clear benefit to me, to my own karov, to my own relative, and not such a terrible harm to the other side, but not the ideal for the other side, now what I would recommend, in such a case, because of the din of b'sarach lo tesalem, it would be mutter just to say, I'm not talking, ask other people, I don't want to get involved. In this way, one is helping one's own side, but one is not causing any direct harm to the other side. And if, again, it's something very clear, and something that's going to be a chisar and atzum, and something very serious, there's no question that one should say something. But here we're only dealing with a case where it's more, you know, the ideal against slightly less than the ideal. So if it's ideal for me and less than the ideal for the other side, so then, I'll just stay out and not talk about it, and then say that they'll get married, and hopefully they'll find a way to live happily ever after, but I can't be involved. So if a third party is asked about it, then the third party should definitely say. But here we're talking about a case where you have a karov, or you did something, somebody very close to one side. That side is allowed to prefer his side, as long as it doesn't cause a serious direct damage to the other side. So therefore, when one is, if the one asking is a relative, one is allowed to go more into detail, because the relative is allowed to hear more, because the relative needs to know everything good for his side. Whereas if it's somebody neutral, then one is not allowed to prefer one side over the other. But the relative, by telling the relative all the details, you're preferring the relative side, and that one is allowed to do. And also, if the one being asked is a relative, then the one and he sees that there's not a chisar, there's not a serious deficiency here, but it's not the ideal for the other side, but it is the ideal for his own side. So in such an instance, he's not obligated to say, unless it's going to be mamish lifnei iver. If he says that it's a perfect shidduch, then it's lifnei iver, and he's not allowed to say that. But he would be permitted to say, I don't want to talk about it, I don't get involved in these things, speak to somebody else. That one is allowed to do. Again, provided that we're not dealing here with a very, very serious deficiency. So that basically is an overview again of the halachas, and also one last final point that he makes when there's a bittul of a shidduch. So let's say two people got engaged and then it was called off. So is one allowed to say why it was called off? So stam, just to tell people, it's obviously what do you have to tell people for? What do you have just to stam to speak lashon hara? Say it didn't work out. It didn't work out, and that's it. What does everybody have to know? And obviously, if there was some very serious problem, and then the person's going to get married again, then it has to be known about. Sometimes they hid a certain fact, and then they only found out about it after they got engaged, and now that she's engaged to somebody else and they're hiding it again, in such a case they have to know. So one has to be very careful in these instances not to be nichshol in lashon hara, and to try to forgive the other side, and to remember the other side eventually wants to get married also, and that we're all human beings, and we all have chesronos, and we all make mistakes, and we should be zelchem yitzhashem, lilmod ulalamed, lishmor velasos, and we should be zelchem that all the shidduchim should be almei menuchos. This country was mei menucha, so the shidduchim should be almei menuchos, and they should always be besimcha, and they should always be be'ava, and v'yadata ki shalom ohalecha should be the kiyum of the, we should be mekayim that pasuk, you should know that your tent is filled with peace. Amen, ken yiratzon. Shalom, shalom, sweetest friends.